Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
And now, a brand new episode of the Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM with hosts Alan Mahana and Hod Solo.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM. I'm your host, Alan Mahana, and joining me in the studio, as always, is the solo to my Chewbacca, the one and only, Hod Solo.
Hey, 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 Alan. How are you today?
I am good. It's Script to Screen Saturdays.
It's screeners time.
It's screeners time. This is, this show is just becoming part of my lifestyle, my friend.
Yeah, it's an everyday thing we do. We talk about it's in our
constantly.
What's your blood types? Plus screener.
Yeah. Screener positive. it's funny. It's been ever since we've become on 2 times a week. The majority of our text messages to each other have become about the show.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, hey, what's up? So by the way,
this
on
story,
Saturday,
yeah.
Or like, here, check out this link, out this storyline. So here we are today with a movie of the week.
Yeah.
As always, we have a guest today on the show as well, which is awesome, talking about the Lebanese Film Festival, mm-hmm. which is something to be excited about. And then we've got stories covering the implosion of the worlds of DC, which is a cinematic universe that just keeps on getting worse and worse as time passes. So it's a full jam-packed episode today.
A lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about.
Oh my God, what's happening in the world of DC? It's crazy.
It's insane. And then we've got box office news as well. Lebanese box office news, which is something we've enjoyed talking about, and our recommendations.
Yes.
That's the breakdown.
Yeah.
We've spoiled it. Everybody can leave now.
No, that's it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you next week.
So as far as the movie of the week this week, we saw The Predator earlier this week. We had a premiere at Beirut Souk's Cinema City. It was distributed by Empire Movies.
Correct.
So what'd you think?
What did I think? I was excited about this one because I liked The Predator.
You really were excited about this.
I'm a fan of the first one. And then it went downhill from there with the other movies. Listen.
The Schwarzenegger version?
Yeah.
The Schwarzenegger. Get to the chopper.
Yeah, there's your one ugly mother. Toot. And there's they say that differently in this movie, which is kind of funny. Look, all in all, it's a fun movie. Like, I enjoyed watching it. It's not the best piece of art. It has a lot of flaws.
Yeah.
But if you really don't want to think, you want to go watch action, you want to watch something very gory, very bloody, you can check it out. My main problem with the film, it was too funny. The original one had dashes of comedy in it.
Yeah.
It was more action-centric, if you can call it like that. And this specific film had joke after joke after joke, which made the important scenes less important, less interesting, less impactful.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of things you and I agree on. I'm not going to share those. You'll talk about those want. But that was my main issue with the movie. I like how they used a lot of kind of Easter eggs from the old movie and this one. Sure. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And another issue was the first two-thirds of the movie are fine, but then the last third is shoved into a very small amount of time, and it's just really messy.
So I'll
let you continue.
Yeah. So, okay. So for me, I thought that the screenplay was my biggest problem because I thought that the pointless, crude dialogue felt completely out of place. The jokes were just, I don't know. They just didn't feel authentic. Yep. They felt very forced.
Yep.
You know, they wanted to be politically correct in some places and then completely politically incorrect in others, you know, with the Tourette's and all that stuff. The characters felt very two-dimensional for me. They didn't have complete arcs. They were just there. They didn't give me any sort of depth. Not that I'm expecting any depth from characters from a Predator movie, but at least something.
Makes sense, yeah.
So the narrative didn't feel grounded for me. A few of the characters just seemed to drop off the screenplay, the pages of the screenplay, halfway through the movie. We just forgot about these characters, you know? Like, who cares? Nobody's going to pay
attention.
Forget
about it.
And obviously, when you look at the history of the Predator films, the bar isn't that high. I mean, like, you really don't need to overdo it to make a good Predator film. Not all of the older films were box office gems. Some of them were complete failures in the box office and were heavily critiqued by the fan base, which is strange to me that this movie even has a fan base. This franchise even has a fan base. And then not to mention the CGI killed me.
Yes.
Like the beginning of the film with the first Predator, it was obvious it was a prosthetic suit. There were animatronics with the tongues and the teeth and everything. It was at least some form of realism in a movie that was completely unrealistic. And then they went and gave me the complete gigantic CGI'd Predator. And then they made them talk. And I was like, ah, guys, like, no, this is not.
Yeah, no. It's not happening.
Yeah, it didn't mesh well enough for me. Mm. It didn't feel, I don't know, like even for something, the trailer made it seem like it was a complete thriller. Like you were going to get some really good action sequences, some gruesome kills. And even then, the kills weren't even that gruesome. It was just same CGI'd splattered blood, you know, like. I just didn't gain anything from it, and that's my biggest problem.
You know what was so amazing about the first one, and partly the second one, it's that the people didn't know what was hunting them. There was something hunting them, killing them, and they had no idea what that was. In this movie, they know.
Yeah.
And it's not spoiling anything, but they are, because you see that in the trailer. They're aware that there is this creature kind of killing them one by one, by group, and whatnot. So that bothered me. And Olivia Munn's character, she's someone I love. I have a crush on her.
Olivia Munn, if you are single out there, you're looking for anyone, Han Solo can be the Solo to your Chewbacca.
Thank you. Best wingman. but her character, she was like this biologist at first, and then suddenly she's Rambo.
Yeah.
It.
You know who her character reminded me of a little?
Tell me.
Rey.
No.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Okay. So Ray is a nobody in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Who's a junkyard. She's like a, what do you call it? Like a
scavenger.
Scavenger. Who all of a sudden knows how to fly the Millennium Falcon, knows how to use Jedi powers and a lightsaber in a matter of one movie.
But I think there's something behind that. We'll see. We'll have this conversation in 1 year.
We'll have it next year around December. But I do agree with you on Olivia Munn's character. Agree with you on that. For me, it just wasn't the greatest film. I was expecting a little more from it.
What did you give it?
I gave it a 1 star.
1 out of 5.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually give it a 6 out of 10 because the fun part, the
yeah, you enjoyed the fun stuff more than I did, honestly. Yeah. Like for me, it just felt out of nowhere.
Yeah, I didn't feel like thinking or overanalyzing. I just watched it.
You were just there.
It was okay.
You were just there. Yeah. So next week, starting on Monday, September the 17th.
Correct.
Lebanon is going to be hosting another film festival.
A massive film festival.
A huge film festival. Duly properly entitled the Lebanese Film Festival. and joining us today as well, you're not alone as well today.
Yes.
At least for now.
Yep. I'm in good company for
the next 15 minutes. Is a representative from the Lebanese Film Festival by the name of Wafa Halawi. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Hi. Welcome.
So what is your actual proper title in relation to the Lebanese Film Festival?
Director of the Lebanese Film Festival.
You are the director of the Lebanese Film Festival. Well, yep. Enchanté.
Mm-hmm. Oui, oui.
So Wafa, the film festival begins next week.
Yeah.
And this is what edition of the film festival?
13th.
The 13th edition.
And 17th year.
13th edition, 17th year. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
Yep. Very exciting.
Lucky number 13.
Yes, very lucky so far.
Lucky number 13. So if you don't mind, give us just a little quick background over how the Lebanese Film Festival came to be. And then we'll dive right in and talk about what you guys are going to be offering film lovers this year.
Yeah, sure. The film festival started in 2001. It was called the Nea Beirut Film Festival.
Okay.
It was founded by Pierre Sarraf, Nadim Thabit, Daniel Arbid and Wadia Safieddine.
Okay.
And the main aim was to offer a platform for Lebanese cinema. So a platform that really puts forward Lebanese talents. Mm-hmm. And up until today, the aim is still the same. We really focus on Lebanese cinema, Lebanese filmmakers, Lebanese talents.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And do you bring in films from overseas, international, or is it mostly focused on Lebanese filmmakers?
Well, it is focused on Lebanese filmmakers, but there are a lot of filmmakers who live abroad. So that's very interesting because we see the Lebanese perspective. I mean, the film still has a Lebanese identity, but sometimes it's set abroad and it's very interesting.
Wow, that is really cool. That is super, super, super cool and very interesting because you're right. You know, speaking from someone who has lived abroad for 13 years, I think a lot of who I am today as a person, the way I see the world, is always split in half. It's got that Lebanese identity, but it's also got this Western touch to it because of the fact that I lived in two places.
That's actually almost the story of one of the films that's going to screen at the festival.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
It's called Abroad by Zane Alexander. And it's very similar to what you're describing right now.
Well, I will make sure to watch the film next week. So the film festival starts next week.
Yes.
How many days does it last?
It's 5 days. So Monday 17th to Friday 21st.
Okay.
Where does it take place?
It's in Beirut Cinema City.
Ooh, okay.
The main program, but we also have a parallel program at the French Institute and at the Opera Gallery.
Okay. The Opera Gallery in?
Downtown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So should I talk about the parallel program now?
Yes, yes. It's exciting. It sounds very sci-fi. It's like the parallel program.
Parallel universe.
Parallel dimension. So basically the core program is at Beirut Souq Cinema City. We have six screenings a day.
Okay.
Other than the opening and the closing. On the 18th, we have something really cool this year. We have a collaboration that we started with the Beirut Art Fair and Opera Gallery.
Okay.
And this year it's a cine concert.
Okay.
And it's in the ruins in the middle of the center of Beirut. So it's really cool. It's obviously it's outdoors. It's going to be exclusive footage, film footage, 8mm of Beirut and people from Beirut from the 50s till today.
Nice.
Wow. Actually, it's called In the Heart of Beirut.
Okay.
And there's going to be live music performed by international instrumentalist Sig.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to this one. We also have two cartes blanches, one to the Cinémathèque Française and one to the Panorama Cinéma Maghreb Moyen-Orient.
Okay.
And basically it means that each one of them is presenting a film on the 19th and the 20th.
Okay.
The 19th is The Sixth Day by Yusuf Shaheen.
Okay.
At the French Institute. And this year it's outdoors as well.
Okay.
So it's really nice. We can enjoy outdoor cinema. And the 20th, outdoors as well, French Institute. And it's a film called Zainab Hates the Snow by Tunisian director Kauthar Benhania.
Okay. Yeah.
We also have for the first time a youth program.
Okay.
On the 17th, and it's an animation documentary film called Liana by Aaron Kopp and Amanda Kopp, and it's going to be followed by a small animation workshop so that kids can you know get a bit more familiar with the cinematic language and animation.
That is awesome.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, for two Disney freaks on the show, this is like, ooh, animation. That's really, really cool. And then there are other aspects of the festival this year that are very interesting to discuss as well, right?
One main aspect, we went to the parallel program before discussing the core identity. But what we like to do at the Lebanese Film Festival is to do a clin d'œil or like a small wink to whatever is happening. So last edition, we shed a bit of light on the garbage crisis in Lebanon.
Okay.
This year, following the international movement on, women in cinema.
Okay.
We're doing kind of a tribute to women in Lebanese cinema.
Okay.
And it leads to very interesting things, like opening the festival with Kafar Nahoum by Nadine Labaki.
Right.
So obviously, needless to say,
Lebanese
director who just won a prize.
Yeah, the Grand Prix, right?
The jury prize. And we're closing the festival with Hini Sroor, who's actually the first Lebanese and first Arab female filmmaker, to have a film in the official selection in Cannes in 1974.
Wow.
And the film is called The Hour of Liberation.
Okay.
It was just restored by the French Cinémathèque, and we're really happy to be screening it here as well.
Wow. And she's in her 70s
right now,
correct?
She's in her 70s. She's coming. And
she's going to be in attendance.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's
here.
Insane.
It's going to be really great to have, the first and the last female Lebanese filmmakers.
Well, first and the current. Let's not say last, because that just makes it sound like there's nobody going to be yet. It's like nobody after Nadine Labaki. That's it.
That's
I mean, so far she's the latest, but hopefully there will be many more.
Oh, I'm sure there will be. I'm sure there will be.
And this kind of like shedding the light on female filmmakers also led to a beautiful collaboration with the Film Femme Francophone, led by my colleague Carole Mezher.
Okay.
And it's a screenwriting residency that's currently taking place in Deir al-Amar.
Deir al-Amar, yeah. Yes. I heard about the residency, which sounds really interesting. Because at the same time, the residency, for the first time ever, actually has foreign filmmakers coming to Lebanon to study and be a part of a workshop, and not the other way around. Because it's normally the other way around.
Yes.
But this time we have like Italians and French and other foreign filmmakers coming to Lebanon to have a residency here.
Yes.
Which is fantastic
open
doors.
Because it can create a lot of collaborations.
Exactly.
It can lead to more films being shot here. It can lead to foreign filmmakers bringing on board Lebanese producers. So it really, it opens doors in a different way. And hopefully it will go on and it will lead to beautiful films that we might screen at the festival, actually.
I'm sure.
Just to remember that it's a whole, we go to the festival, we watch beautiful films, but it's actually a really long process. And it all starts with screenwriting. So,
as always.
Yeah.
And so how do people get in touch with you guys? How do they buy tickets? What can they do to go watch
So tickets
films?
Are sold at Beirut Souq Cinema City.
Mm-hmm.
They're also going to be online.
Okay.
At the French Institute, it's directly there at the door.
You buy them at the door?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that's pretty much it, basically. They want to get in touch with us. We're very active on social media. Facebook.
Okay. They can see the program and everything.
Absolutely. Okay. On the website as well, there's all the films, all the program.
What's the website, in case anyone wants to?
It's LebaneseFilmFestival.org.
Okay.
And on Facebook, it's Lebanese Film Festival.
Yeah. What about Instagram? Do you guys have an Instagram?
Yeah, we also have, it's called Lebanese Film Festival.
Lebanese Film Festival on Instagram as well. Well, that makes sense.
Yes.
I mean, way to be unified, and then as far as the screenings go during the week, when do the screenings begin and then when do they end? Because you're in a movie theater, so I'm sure there were some, like, it's not as...
It's like a tight collaboration and it's kind of like playing Tetris to make everything fit together.
I'm sure.
We have three sessions per day.
Okay.
Running in parallel, parallel session, so it's six in total, but it's three timings, let's say.
Okay.
The first one is around 6:30.
Okay.
And the second one, depending on the length of the film, is around between 8 and 8:20. The second one should start. And then the last one should be around 10 p.m.
Okay, there are almost like two-hour gaps between...
Almost two hour gaps between each session.
Okay, that's interesting. And then where in the movie theater will they be? Or does it depend on the movie?
Most of the time we're upstairs in the... So we're...
Fancy.
So
fancy.
That's really cool because also, in a film festival, it's nice to be able to share this experience, when you watch a film.
And the lobby is just great upstairs.
The lobby
upstairs is really great.
And it's also the occasion for people to maybe discuss a bit more about the film. Most of the filmmakers are here. So to talk a bit more to the filmmakers, and it creates kind of this cozy atmosphere that I think is very, very important in a film festival.
Of course. Yeah. See, this is the thing. It's like, for me, when I go and watch a movie at a premiere, I normally try to rush out as fast as possible because I want to absorb the movie to be able to write the review. Mm-hmm. In film festivals, I'm the complete opposite because I have no review to write. Mm-hmm. I'm more of the, okay, I want to discuss, you know, like, and there's some, you know, again, and in film festivals, you're not talking like complete commercial films. You're talking a lot independent cinema. So it's a lot of character driven material. You've got documentaries, you've got like really hardcore, you know, emotional material and whatever. So those I normally love to unpack immediately because I like hearing other people's opinions. So I let loose in film festivals. Mm-hmm. I'm like okay, I'm done talking to you. Okay, like, let's go talk to someone else. Let's go, to, you know, like get completely different perspectives because I have no review to write. Mm-hmm. Whereas in regular stuff, I'm like, yeah, no, don't talk to me. I need to focus to be able to write it later, you know? Have you been to any film festivals at all?
Very, very small ones. Very
few. Okay.
But nothing major. I've never been to the Lebanese Film Festival.
Me neither. Honestly, this will be my first year.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
So we're waiting for you, both of you.
Oh, we'll be there. Yeah, for sure.
We'll be there. So the opening night is on Monday.
Yes.
It's starting at?
The doors open at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. And then it's Nadine Lebake's latest film.
We have the opening ceremony and Kafarnaum screening, yes.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. So for any of you out there who haven't seen Kafarnaum yet and don't want to wait until the 20th to watch it, the Lebanese Film Festival's opening night, you can get tickets at...
Well, the opening is by invitation.
Oh,
so well, you cannot get tickets.
Well, you know
You'll
what?
You'll have to wait till the 20th.
You know what? Alan just made a big boo-boo. Everybody will be able to watch it on the 20th. It's a pretty good film, but I don't want to talk about it yet because I did have the liberty to see it already, but mm-hmm. I can't wait to see it again at the Lebanese Film Festival, hopefully with you.
Yep, because I haven't seen it.
But there are many more really beautiful films to catch.
I will make sure. I love that I'm still not at university yet. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have work yet, which means I can actually go.
Yeah.
And considering next week I really don't have many premieres, we don't have any major premieres, mm-hmm. I'm thinking I'm just going to be... crowding myself at the Lebanese Film Festival.
So I'm going to see you there every single day for...
As much
as we can.
I don't know how, you know, if every single day, but I'll be there as much as possible within those 5 days, for sure.
Great.
For sure. Wafa, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And sharing all this awesome news. We can't wait for the festival to start. We wish you and the entire Lebanese Film Festival team the best of luck.
Thank you.
Awesome. Worlds of DC...
Oh my God. If only people can see my face on YouTube next week.
But if only people
could see my face right now.
Yeah. Isn't it? It's so all over the place.
I think there's a word in front. No, I don't think I can say it on the radio.
No, you probably.
It's just rubbish. It's just messed up.
Isn't it terrible?
Yeah.
So we've got a lot to talk about regarding the DCEU. So let's just start with the first one. Let's
break down what happened a bit this week.
Break it down.
Wicka wicka woo.
Okay.
okay. Sorry.
The level of dorkism just went from 1 to 10 in a matter of like 30 seconds.
Because there was a lady with us and we're trying to be like...
Yeah, gentlemen.
Yes. And then...
Okay. So where to begin?
So in the news...
The Worlds of DC, DCEU, Warner Brothers, blah, 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 start off the week by telling us that they're already shopping for a new Batman because Ben Affleck is no longer going to be the Caped Crusader, the Dark Knight, the Batman.
The Batman.
Whoa, that was really deep.
That was, yeah.
So he's stepping away from playing the role, and Warner Brothers are looking for a new actor to take on the role, specifically for Matt Reeves, the Batman.
Yes.
And a rumor has it that they're looking at the King of the North.
Yes.
To take on the role. And if you don't know
Kit
the reference Harington. Out there, it's Jon Snow. It's Kit Harington. And here's my opinion. No.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Because we didn't talk about this before, me and you.
No.
Yes.
No. I love Kit.
He's not
Batman. I'm a big fan of Kit Harington. I've seen a lot of his work outside of Game of Thrones. The The guy is brilliant.
But he's no Batman.
He's handsome, whatever. You're not Bruce Wayne, dude.
No.
Bruce Wayne needs to have some sort of machismo, man. Like, he has to have... I mean, look at Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Look at Michael Keaton in his youth. I mean, I'm going to ignore Val Kilmer and George Clooney because those are no. But even Ben Affleck. Even Ben Affleck, who wasn't the greatest, you know, Dark Knight. I mean, he doesn't bother me as much, but he's not loved by the fans. He still had machismo. He still had man of strength and power and whatever. Kit doesn't. Dude, Kit has a baby face.
Mm.
I can't see him being all like, I'm the Batman. I'm like, no, you're not. You're Jon Snow and you know nothing.
Yeah. he does know nothing. Like from Game of Thrones, they could have picked his brother. The ex-king of the North who gets... I forgot the name of the actor.
The guy who gets killed at the Red Wedding.
Yes, yes.
He's
more of a Batman than if they had to pick...
Yeah, more of a Batman than him, but he's someone within, not...
When did we cover the Batman topic? We've been talking about it for a while.
I mean, we've been talking about DC for the longest time because every week it's like a drama.
I'm going to go back to my original pick. Older Josh Brolin. I really see him.
I'm so
into that.
I
can't shake the idea. I think it's a golden opportunity.
But I don't think they want to go for
it. They want to go for a younger guy, obviously.
An older Batman. They want to go for a younger Batman. But that, again, poses so many other issues that we're going to talk about a little later.
But here's the thing. It's linked to another issue. Josh Brolin as Batman.
Yes.
And Jon Hamm as Superman.
So both of them older.
Yes.
Both of them older.
Both of them within that kind of... I think that would be very interesting. And they both had that heroic, manly kind of thing.
I wouldn't mind Jon Hamm as Superman. That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing for all you out there who haven't heard the news. Henry Cavill...
Is no longer Supes.
Is no longer Supes. So we don't have a Batman. We don't have a Superman. DCEU, rest in peace. May you always.
Yeah.
This is just... what is happening? So almost 3 or 4 days after Ben Affleck announces that he's no longer going to be Batman, we get the news that Henry Cavill has put up the cape. And he does the... I mean, he triggers fans in the most hysterical way.
Mm-hmm.
He triggers the fans by posting an Instagram video saying the most exciting news ever. And he's wearing a shirt that says Krypton. And he's raising an action figure that is Superman from under the frame to over the frame. I mean, that was mean.
unless it's all one big publicity stunt, marketing stunt.
You think it's a publicity
stunt? I don't
stunt?
Think so. There's always a possibility of them doing that. But if that's it, I mean, it's such a like betrayal kind to the trust of the fans.
I don't know what the heck is happening.
Look, I'm kind of glad this is all happening because I think that DC has needed a shape up for a
shake
long
time.
Shake up for a very long time. They've had issues with their characters, the Justice League didn't work. I think they need to start from scratch. Now, the problem here is that they do have a good Wonder Woman.
Right. See, this is what I was going to talk about later.
There's Aquaman, which we don't know yet, but we'll see in November, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. December?
November or December. Later this year. The Flash movie seems to be abandoned, so we don't know what's going to happen with that.
Yeah.
So,
although I thought I heard that it went back into pre-production very recently.
I heard that it was still on hiatus.
Oy.
I don't know. But with very confusing.
Is he charging up his Speed Force?
Yeah, he's charging the battery.
iPhone charger.
But how is it going to work? So let's say Aquaman does work and Wonder Woman works. Do they get a new Superman from a parallel universe? Do they get another Batman? Is it recasting and it's the same storyline?
Okay, so you've jumped a little further. But it's okay. It's okay.
Sorry.
So this is the thing. So... the timeline issue is a big problem for
Confucius.
Me because if they keep Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman or She Who Must Not Be Named, and they keep Ezra Miller as the Flash. And they keep
Jason
Momoa. I was about to say Khal Drogo. Jason Momoa.
That works.
Jason Momoa as Aquaman. and then bring in a younger Bruce and a different Clark Kent. How does that work?
I don't know.
Because you know, Wonder Woman, Diana and Bruce had a little flirtation, had a little thingamajig, and now he's younger, so... I don't, it's very confusing.
It is extremely confusing.
And then, you
confusing.
Know, for the president of the DCEU or the worlds of DC or whatever you want to call it, says that they want to work on standalone films and not necessarily worry about interconnecting them. Well, that's just even more confusing.
But they've done that.
Because you've already brought them all together in Justice League. So now you're retconning the retcon of the canon of the con of the... And then you get more rumors about Clark Kent, with the WB basically considering Michael B. Jordan as Clark Kent. Okay. So being the one that is normally the more controversial of the two, let me make myself very clear. No. Okay. Nowhere in the mythos of Clark Kent, in the comic books or otherwise, was there ever an inkling that Clark Kent, a kid who is raised in the middle of Kentucky or whatever, that he would be an African American. Again, no, this has nothing to do with a race. This is not a racist issue. I am not speaking about this from a perspective of someone who has anything against African Americans, but I am sick and tired of Hollywood casting these actors, forcing their identity politic, politically correct, we want to be diverse, blah, 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 onto the fan base. Nobody's going to accept this. It's going to be another Star Wars hysteria. It's going to be another Doctor Who hysteria. They're going to lose the fan base. And it's all going to fall onto Michael B. Jordan's shoulders.
Yeah, but to be fair, in the comics... there is a black Superman.
What?
Val-El. In a parallel universe, there exists a black Superman.
But he's not Kal-El.
He might. Maybe they're going to step away from that. Maybe they don't want him to be Kal-El. I don't know what they're going to do. For me, I don't see Michael B. Jordan as Superman.
Right.
Forget the ethnicity, but I don't see him portraying that character. I would see, as I said, John Hamm. I would see John Krasinski. Oh, did I say his name properly?
Yeah,
oh
you
my
did.
God.
You
finally!
Did. You did.
Finally, after 12 tries, it worked. there are other characters. Yes, okay, they're white. I don't have a problem with the black Superman if he follows the storyline of Val-El and he is that character, not Kal-El.
Yeah, so again, take responsibility. Yep. I had no idea that a Val-El existed, although I have read a lot of Superman's comics. Mm-mm. I never got into the parallel universe thing, I guess, or whatever.
Absolutely.
So with Val-El, if they're going to bring in Val-El, that's fine, but don't sit there and tell me, you know, but again, the media and how the media is bringing this on is doing it in a way where they're saying they're casting Michael B. Jordan as Clark Kent / Superman. Mm-hmm. It's not being done in a responsible way. This is simply being done to trigger the fan base and to create controversy and hysteria and all that stuff. So I don't respect the media outlets that are simply clickbaiting everybody.
Mm-hmm. I'm just checking if his name is Val-El. I know he exists, but let me check.
In the meantime, while you're checking, I posted on my Instagram, I posted and asked people what they thought of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I got a whole bunch of replies, from Grow Food Live Well on Instagram. They said, well, back to the writing board. because I had some really, really fun ones. The movie inspector basically said, man, the DCEU is a fail. Everything is slowly slipping apart. I don't even understand their strategy and film lineup. Suicide Squad 2, Batgirl, Gotham City, Sirens. God knows what happened to Justice League 2. It's all so disappointing. So that's one. Anthony.on9066 said, honestly, I think it was a shame that Henry Cavill left the role as Superman, although he did show some potential, but I heavily blame WB or Warner Brothers for not investing in the DC universe the same way Disney is invested in the MCEU. And I kind of have to agree with that. I don't feel that the Warner Brothers is as heavily invested as they should be. Other people like Moman LB said, sad. So a lot of people are just Way to ruin the DCEU, said Joey Kardahi. So, I mean, a lot of people are disappointed. I wasn't expecting that many people to be that disappointed, since not a lot of people like not a lot of people liked Man of Steel or Justice League or Batman v Superman.
Okay, back to the character. His name is Calvin Ellis, Kryptonian Kal-El, but it's one word, also known as Superman. Okay. And he's from Earth 2.
Okay. So if you're going to introduce Earth 2, again, no problem whatsoever.
Maybe that could be their solution to get the new Batman and...
Could be.
I don't know. Perhaps.
But then they would need the Flash, wouldn't they?
Maybe they'll use the Flash properly now.
It's so confusing.
But here's the thing. Here's why people are bothered. Here's why I'm bothered. I love everything that's Marvel, but I love DC characters.
Yes, exactly.
And they haven't been done justice in a long time. I grew up not knowing who Iron Man was, who Captain America was in the 90s.
Right.
I wasn't
a
big comic book kid, but I knew who Superman was.
Yep.
I knew who Batman was.
The Flash.
These were characters I was familiar with and I loved. And when they take these iconic characters and do what they've done so far with them in recent years, it's very sad. It's very disappointing. I think that's why people are upset. People want DC to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to watch a very good Superman movie. I want to watch a very good Batman movie. Whenever I go to the movies and I end up seeing these movies failing, I'm not happy. I'm sad. I'm frustrated. And I think that's why people are angry at what's going on today.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you. And it is very sad for me that we're not getting proper. It hasn't been a proper representation of the DCEU characters. It hasn't been a proper representation of any of them, or the universe, or any of that for that matter. I think the closest that we've gotten to any good representation of DCEU characters or DC characters has been in television.
Yeah,
you know, with The Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and they're not the greatest
and
either.
Still there, yeah.
You know, we got Gotham on, which is a TV series based on Gotham City before the rise of Batman.
Yep.
So it focuses on the villains. You've got Titans, which looks. I mean, the more I see it, the more I'm very hesitant about it. And it's sad because in comic books, these heroes and these characters are so good. They're so beautifully written and beautifully drawn. You know what the best representation of these characters was or is?
Tell me.
The animated stuff.
Yes. Yes.
So you've got the animated Justice League movies. You've got the animated Batman movies, the animated Superman films. Not only are they performed beautifully with Kevin Smith being Bruce. Mm-hmm. You've got Mark Hamill as the Joker, who is arguably one of the best Joker representations. But the storylines, the writing, the acting, the animation, this is DC.
Yeah.
So either stick to the animation or figure out a better formula for the live action stuff, because it is not good.
Yeah.
It is just, it's not. And it needs... I don't know. They need a Kevin Feige.
They need a head honcho which knows what he's doing and puts a clear strategy and works on these movies.
Do you think that the MCU is potentially heading towards something like this? Could they end up getting in trouble at some point with now because of all the controversy, you know, with all the things like losing James Gunn and all that stuff? Do you think there is a risk here?
Well, here's the thing. If they end up killing characters in the next Infinity War, they'll have less characters to deal with. Work on new ones and keep on surprising us with good stories. I'm not very worried about them. Yes, there's a small issue with James Gunn. I think it's solvable.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a bit of time. They're reshooting. Apparently, they had always planned to reshoot Avengers 4. So I'm sure they'll think of what to do properly for these characters.
Yeah.
So I'm not very worried about Marvel. How about you?
I am a little bit, honestly.
Okay.
I feel like again, when something gets this huge, and now with the inclusion, the way they're going to try to work in the X-Men characters and a lot of the heroes from Fox and Spider-Man's world and all that stuff, I almost feel at some point we're going to start seeing a little weakness at some point. And this is what I feel like. We're going to start feeling a little bumps on the road. Maybe not as bad as DC, but we're going to start getting those bumps. We're going to start hitting those bumps. That's what I feel. So we're back from our musical break. And now it's time for box office news.
Yes.
The local box office. We've been teasing. I mean, not teasing. We've been trying to do this segment justice since we've started talking about it. And I finally feel like we have enough time today, sort of, to talk about it with a little bit more detail before we jump into the script to screen recommendations. So here we go. We're going to do them in descending order.
Yes.
Okay, so 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, starting with the fifth in the local Lebanese box office. Take it away, Hod.
So you've got at number 5, Peppermint, with 3,900 entries. It's the movie with Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, where it's almost like Taken, but with a mom.
Yeah, exactly. But I haven't seen it, so...
I didn't see it either. But this is the first week this film has been out.
Exactly.
Correct? Number 4, we've got Mission Impossible Fallout, still remaining in the top 5 for its 7th week. Although this week it made... 4,741 entries. It got 4,741 entries.
But the cool thing about it, it's had a total of 104,200 entries.
I mean, again, it's like this is the 7th week.
Yeah, so it makes sense to kind of be there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. What's number 3?
Number 3 is everyone's favorite fish, not Finding Nemo, The Meg, with Jason Statham.
Statham.
I don't know why I have an issue with names. We need to work on that. Anyway, so it's been out for 4 weeks and it's done pretty well this summer.
Yeah. 4,967, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Number 2 is an Egyptian film. Translated in English would be The Suit. This is the 3rd week that it's been out, and it's so far, this week, its entries are 6,484. Not bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
And finally, at number 1.
Number 1, the movie that came out last week, Alpha.
Okay.
Alpha has been out for 1 week only and has made... 12,300 entries.
Yeah, rounding up a few. But hey, I'm super happy to see this film.
Congrats to
doing so well, being number 1 in the box office.
Congrats to our friends at Empire.
At Empire Movies.
Yeah,
that's right. What do you think of this lineup here? Since we have the time to talk about it, finally.
I mean, it makes sense. Alpha was the new movie last week. It targets older and younger people.
Sure,
it's the end of summer before school.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense that families go watch this movie. And everything else is kind of logical for me. Egyptian film, Arabic-speaking movies are popular in Lebanon.
In the area,
region.
Yeah.
They always do well, no matter what kind of content they have, which is sometimes kind of sad. But why not?
It's still amazing to me that Mission Impossible is still in the top 5. Like, I was expecting it to start kind of getting into the top 10, but I mean, my Lord, has it kept up momentum? Like, it's awesome to see this. And you said 104,000?
Yeah, 104,231 to be
entries. That is crazy. Yeah. That is such an interesting number. I mean, yes, and you're right. I mean, completely valid for it to be in this standing in the top 5. Because, again, I think for me, it's the film of the summer. Yeah. I mean, as far as big blockbusters go, for me, it's the film of the summer.
True.
I mean, it was exciting to watch. I saw it 3 times in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun every single time.
Yeah, it was good. And looking at the other below the number 5, there's nothing that I see should have been in the top 5 this week. So I think this is logical. This makes actual sense.
What about The Meg being up there?
It makes sense in Lebanon.
Yeah,
People enjoy these kind of movies. Not my cup of tea, definitely, but I'm always happy when movies perform well.
It's always good. Because, I mean, again, for us who love the cinema culture and going to the movies and experiencing movies, this is something that we both enjoy. It's just
totally
interesting for me when we're looking at this, because the entire point of us doing this segment on the show was to kind of look at what Lebanese audiences seem to be enjoying. And it's interesting that it's this combination this week.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Alpha, you've got a lot of dog lovers in this country and
shark lovers.
Well, I mean, not necessarily shark lovers, but I mean, I almost feel like Jason Statham has a big following in this country.
Yes.
And then also you've got the the B action movies do really well in Lebanon. They
That's true.
The Meg is a B action movie.
Completely, yeah.
You know, people just want to go. They want to chill out. They want to have a laugh. They want to eat some popcorn, doze off for a couple of minutes, and then kind of just like, you know.
Let's see what happens next week with The Predator.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see that. And then the following week with a Lebanese film in the the box office, that should be an interesting, this is where it'll kind of heat up.
Yeah.
It'll be very interesting to see where the pieces fall into place.
Yes.
Script to Screen recommends this week. What's your recommendation for us, Todd?
So today we talked about Predator by Shane Black.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to talk about one of his better movies, The Nice Guys.
With
Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, that was a good film.
It was very well written.
Yeah.
The text, the screenplay is fantastic.
Uh-huh.
The story is very interesting, and I loved the chemistry between Gosling and Crowe.
Oh, absolutely.
We hadn't seen Russell Crowe, I think, in a good role in a while.
Yeah.
And I think that...
And especially a role like this.
Yeah.
Like, he's normally into taking the more serious roles.
It's kind
this
of...
This was him letting loose.
Yeah, yeah, kind of
like,
light.
This was him kind of like, yeah, you know, like...
It's light. It's also violent. It's got a good story, good cop buddy story, but not over the top. No, not Lethal Weapon-ish, which Shane Black wrote.
Right.
I love that movie, so... Check out the Nice Guys.
The scene in the bathroom kills me every time.
Yeah.
Where he walks in, and I think it's is it Ryan Gosling on the seat or is it Crowe on the seat?
I think it's Ryan Gosling.
It's Ryan Gosling on the seat, and Crowe is standing outside. He's like talking to him.
Yeah, and the girl who plays Gosling's daughter is fantastic. It's
a great film.
It's a really good movie.
I think they tried to make it a series, didn't they? And then the series did not work.
I don't know, honestly.
Or was there something? Oh, no, the other one is The Good Cops. Never mind. It's not The Nice Guys. It's The Good Cops. But it had something. Yeah. It was sort of similar, but it wasn't The Nice Guys. No. Nowhere near.
How about you?
So my recommendation this week is interesting because it's a rather new release.
Okay.
And it does fall into the TV series kind of thing. So I did two movies, and now I'm back to TV series. So I've only seen four episodes of this.
Okay.
But be still my heart, I'm in love with this show. And I was very nervous about it because I didn't really, I was hoping it would be good. Because it's been a while since I've been attached to something in animation. And so the series that I'm going to recommend this week is Netflix's The Dragon Prince.
Okay.
Like I said, I've only seen four episodes, so I really don't know where this season is heading so far. But from four episodes, I'm hooked. I love the characters. I love its energy. I love its mood. It basically talks about it's an extraordinary, you know, two human characters make an extraordinary discovery that basically inspires them and an elf assassin to go on a journey or like a quest to bring peace to the world that they live in because they're at war. They're essentially at the brink of war. Mm-hmm. There's conspiracy. There's magic. It's adventure. And this is why I love it. So in an ideal world, a show like this should have been made by Disney.
Okay.
A story like this should have been told by Disney. But Disney's been busy doing whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really looking into original content. Very rarely are they coming up with original content. They're doing their remakes. They're doing their reboots, whatever. They're stuck in their formula. So in an ideal world, this would have been a Disney, whether it be animated show a la Gargoyles or whatever, or it could have been a series of movies or a movie. But instead, it was created by the guys that did Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Okay.
And The Legend of Korra.
Okay.
It's the same team with a new addition to their team, and they created a new production company called Wonderstorm, and this is why they're working on it. Mm-hmm. So the animation feels very Last Airbender, but it's this merger of 2D and 3D, which is very interesting. It creates for some very cool animation. I love its lighthearted adventureness, even though there are some dark tones to it. There are some kind of philosophical themes, heavy themes, whatever. It's balanced out with positivity,
okay,
and hopefulness. And And it's magic and dragons, dude.
It sounds good. It sounds...
I love it. So the first 9 episodes were released yesterday on Netflix. You can watch them on Netflix. I'm a huge fan of the show.
How long is each episode?
Like 20 minutes, 27 minutes.
Okay.
Because it's Netflix, so it's like 25 to 27. So it's not like the 23, 20 minute that we normally get on TV. So it's a little longer, but it's so good. It's so good. It's so good.
Wow. Well,
that's what I recommend.
I'll definitely try to check it out.
Yes, you should.
Because I haven't seen that yet.
Yes, you should. So before we go in and talk about our social media, I wanted to give a shout out to Jad_Z_66, who gave us our first review on Podchaser a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
He gave us 5 stars, which is kind of awesome. And he said, a very good show that pleases your cinema passion. It's a very unique it's a very unique and one of a kind show in Lebanon. The hosts are fantastic.
Thank you, Jad.
So we want to say a big thank you to Jad and anybody else who you saw it today. I read your DMs when we were talking about Superman. Mm-hmm. We're reading your reviews. So reach out to us. Get in touch with us. We want to include you more and more the more the show spreads. Yeah. And, you know, we're on Spotify now. We're on iTunes. We've got listeners in Sweden, in Germany, in the UK, in the US, in Lebanon. We're spreading and I like it.
A bit here and there and everywhere. That's perfect.
So if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Alan Mahana and
Had.Solo.
And you can listen to us on Enghami, iTunes,
Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
Podchaser, Podbean, Player FM, or you can tune in next week on Radio Lebanon 96.2 for a brand new episode of Script to Screen Spotlight on Friday and Script to Screen News Hour on Saturday. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Love you guys, our screeners. We can't wait to share more news with you in the coming weeks. Oh, you can also see our picture in Vox Cinemas.
Yeah.
Because we are live.
We're in Vox.
So thank you so much for tuning in. Have an awesome
day. Have a great day, everyone. We love you so much and thank you for the support.
Thank you always. And as always, we'll see you at the movies. Cue the credits.